Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Welcome back to another edition of Illinois Family Spotlight. My name is Jenna, and with me today are Alyssa Sonnenberg, who is another host of Illinois Family Spotlight, and a really good friend of ours. Stephanie Stapert works in Christian nonprofit education, and she is a really good friend of IFI. And just personally, I really admire her and appreciate her as a sister in Christ. There has been a lot of hot button issues and a lot of cases that have been going around in our culture recently. And Alyssa and I had been talking about it on the side. And then Stephanie reached out to me and was saying, hey, what about this? Can we talk about this? And I'm like, you know what? We have a platform. Let's talk about this. So Alyssa, would you like to introduce kind of like what we wanted to talk about today?
Absolutely. As our audience probably has seen by now, the Lindsay Clancy case is extremely viral on the internet, both in trial clips and also just in the solidarity support videos that come across social media. Those for Lindsay Clancy, those against, it's become a very hot button divisive issue, but we don't necessarily want to focus all of our time on dissecting the case. We're not lawyers. We're not experts in mental health. We're Christians, so that gives us some expertise on what the Bible says about these things. But what we really want to speak to is the bigger picture, that this is not the first time that women have been largely duped by toxic empathy. Mm-hmm. We've seen this, the Charlie Kirk assassination, the shocking amount of women who went after Erica Kirk and other people in Turning Point USA, Candace Owens being one of those people with her platform of millions and millions of viewers and followers and listeners. So this isn't just a Lindsay Clancy issue. This is a worldview issue. This is a Bible issue that women are facing in America, men too, but specifically women. So that's going to be the meat of our conversation today.
My biggest, I guess, shock that I got when I started reviewing the case, I had no clue what this was going on, guys. Until last Sunday, my friend visited our church and she's becoming an Illinois state licensed therapist. She's like, hey, I'm going to be studying this case in my evening school. What are your thoughts on it? I'm like, well, what's going on? And she shared that this mother has killed her three children. And now she's under, she's in the court. And basically the line is, either you're going to go to the psychiatric hospital or you're going to go to prison for life. And so they're basically just debating, okay, were you in full your own agency when you killed these kids or were you not? And then that was like the most shocking thing in the world to me. I was like, I cannot believe that this is happening right now. And then people are saying that they're with her. They're standing for her. Stephanie, what was like your first initial reaction when you saw the backlash that was happening with all of these women standing up and being like, I agree with you, Lindsay. Like, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. So thank you so much for having me back. I've really enjoyed talking with you guys on Self-Evident, your former podcast, about how to reach leftist women. And so I'm glad to follow up on this out in the state of, you know, what's going on with women today. But with my original response was, of course, I think immense dismay and just really upset that we live in a world where such evil happens. Of course, murdering children, especially your own children, is really devastating. Now, of course, this case has, you know, it brings up a lot of topics because it's not just, you know, what does the law say and what are the legal standards for insanity? Do we like them? Do we not like them? That's one piece of it. But it's also the, you know, at what point are you responsible for your actions? What level does mental health can we blame? What level can we blame doctors or medication? And what is hard for me, I think, with this is that at first I was really upset. But then as I was learning more about the law and the legal stance, it was like, okay, I can be grieved and upset, but in America, you know, we have certain laws and we need to, if we're not going to argue the case by what is actually reality, then I don't think we have a leg to stand on. So I think that's been like me personally was really grieved, didn't want to look at it anymore, was really saddened by it. But I think it also forces us to face this issue of again, where's the line in the sand? Where does it turn from? Is it possible that we all could be Lindsay Clancy? That's something I think women are really wrestling with right now, especially those that have faced mental health concerns in the past. And so originally when I was seeing the videos, I was horrified. I was like, I can't believe that women think that they could kill their own kids. And I think we've seen a lot of that reaction on social media and a lot of conservatives really calling that out, which makes sense. That's how I was in my own mind. But as I dug into it a little bit more, I began to wonder, are these women actually really afraid that they're one medical prescription, accident, mental health break away from actually being capable of such things? And I think that's a really scary thing to think about. And if that's what the women online are, or even the ones that are going in person are really struggling with, I think they deserve our compassion and they deserve our help rather than just calling them out as evil and wrong. But then, of course, you know, there's the third category of there are some women that are really struggling to believe that this is possible, that a woman could even commit such crimes. And they're blaming, of course, the husband. But again, I think that's going back to everyone is trying to cope and understand of how could this happen and rationalizing it in different ways. And so I think as Christians, we have to look back to what is true, what is reasonable, and what does God say about these issues. And then instead of ruminating on the let's be divisive, let's figure out what are the solutions so this doesn't happen again, and how can we really support one another as women in this situation.
Yeah, that's a great point. From my perspective, what I've been seeing with this is the whole, we are all Lindsay Clancy. I am Lindsay Clancy. Me too, Lindsay. Same Lindsay. I've seen so many videos of women who are being borderline abusive with their kids, throwing water on them. They'll be screaming in their bathrooms, throwing ice cubes in the tub. And I mean, you have to plan all of that out. You need to set up your tripod. You need to hit record. You need to get your little bucket of ice. You need to start screaming at the right time. And then you need to stop recording. You need to edit it. And you need to post it for views. Like, these are really dark intentions that women are doing online. It's not these candid moments. It's these planned out scripted scenes of throwing water on your kids. Like, you need to plan that out, edit it, post it to TikTok. And I guess what I'm seeing is, you know, the claims of insanity and the mental health. It's like, all these murderers have mental health issues. Ted Bundy had mental health issues. Richard Ramirez had mental health issues. It's not natural to murder someone. God has placed in us a value, innate value and dignity in human life, which is why it's so demonic when women take the lives of their preborn children, because women have a natural inclination to protect and nurture their children. And I do have to wonder, all of these women that are supporting Lindsay Clancy, I do wonder how many of them have abortions in their past, that they're doing some form of guilt relief or I don't know, like if Lindsay can claim insanity, maybe I can claim insanity that I wasn't in my right mind when I went through with my abortion, so I can't really be responsible for it. All of these things are ultimately spiritual issues. You know, if I posted today, August 28 on Instagram, a meme that said, you know, Lindsay Clancy, she was a college graduate. She had a successful nursing career. She had great health insurance. She had a loving husband, $500,000 home. She had a nanny, which most people in America cannot afford. She had access to McLean Psychiatric Hospital, one of the best in the country. She had doctors that were prescribing her things and seeing her regularly. She had went to see a postpartum support person for postpartum support. Like, she had access to all of the support resources. She didn't need more support. She needed Jesus, and she still needs Jesus. And, you know, I do have to wonder what part the medical establishment has played in this, given the amount of drugs she was taking. She wasn't taking them correctly. She wasn't taking them simultaneously. She was being prescribed different things by different doctors. I think there's a lot of, or consistently. But I also want to clear up a piece of misinformation that she was never diagnosed with postpartum psychosis or postpartum depression, which has made women flock to her. Like, you know, same Lindsay, I struggle with postpartum depression too. She was diagnosed officially with a mood disorder, not postpartum depression, not postpartum psychosis. So that's a misinformation that needs to be cleared up. So this idea that she was just having a really hard day postpartum and suddenly murdered her kids is just not true.
Yeah, I would be careful with that in the sense of early on in care, it's common that doctors are trying to figure out what's going on. And actual diagnosis can take months of monitoring, if not a year or more, depending on the diagnosis. And when you are prescribed, I mean, some of the drugs she was on are antipsychotics, and sometimes they do cause psychosis. And we don't know as a whole society, like, we don't know the long-term effects. We don't know the short-term effects of the medications. Now, I don't think that, of course, you know, erases the evil of what she has done. It doesn't erase the fact that she murdered the kids, her own kids. It does call into question, though, the insanity and the legal parts of it. But regardless, you're right with the social media. We live in a society where people are beginning to believe that if they don't post it on social media, then it's not real life, then their life doesn't have meaning, then they can't show their virtues, when really our virtue should be in who it's made us as. And it takes, you're 100% right, it takes so much thought to put together a social media post, to put together a podcast, you know, like we're doing today. That is an intentional thought that these women are going through, that are posting in solidarity. And it does make me question again, why, you know, what is the point of what you are doing? And what does that show where your heart is at and what you are condoning or sharing as your virtues. And so I'm definitely not a fan of the almost lack of care towards children and the selfishness that is coming from a lot of more feminist women that are posting solidarity videos of, you know, like you had mentioned, the throwing water, throwing ice cubes. There's a difference between bringing awareness of like, hey, this is the struggling thing, and almost condoning poor behavior in emotional responses.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Something that you had brought up was very interesting to me, where you had sent earlier this week a podcast from Alex Clark, where she was talking about how Gen Z women specifically are now looking at their lives more like products and how to sell themselves on the internet, like, okay, this is going to be my aesthetic. This is how many likes it's going to bring in. This is how many follows it's going to bring in. And everything is done for social media instead of actually just enjoying life, you know, instead of going out to dinner and having a beautiful time with friends and family and enjoying that time. They're thinking to themselves, oh my goodness, I cannot touch this plate of food until I take a picture of it so I can post it. Because if I don't post it, people aren't going to like the story and people aren't going to know that I've gone here. And it's very interesting to see how that also plays into the darker side of social media, where Alyssa was pointing out, women are thinking to themselves, okay, how do people know that I support this woman? What I need to do is I need to throw ice cubes in my bathtub. What I need to do is I need to go and scream at a wall. But at first I need to set up a camera first in order for people to realize, oh, this is how I'm supporting. This is going to be the solidarity that I'm going to be showing. And I think that speaks more to what has become of our souls. Why are we doing things that are just going to be posted for other people to approve of instead of working for the approval of one? Which, as a Christian, that is our goal. Our goal is to do everything for the glory of God and work for that audience of one to hear the one phrase that every Christian wants to hear when they get to heaven, which is, well done, good and faithful servant. And I think what social media has done specifically on such a huge viral level that Lindsay Clancy is showing us, it has shown just how eroded our souls have become because we're looking to please man instead of God.
Yeah, and I think the divide, too, between men and women is getting drastic. The algorithms are feeding us entirely different things. And I think, too, God created women beautifully and wonderfully. We do seek that approval in many ways. But if we are seeking approval from everyone else except Christ, I think we see really the evil of which feminism has taught us, that you can do everything, you can be everything, you don't have, you know, it's all about you and what you want, kind of this like toxic femininity. You know, we are the wealthiest we've been, we have the most, you know, freedoms we've ever had as American women. We, you know, have careers. People say that you can have it all. You can have, you know, we have quality medical care and more, but yet we are the most depressed we've ever been. And women are leaps and bounds ahead of men when it comes to psychiatric care, when it mm-hmm. comes to mental health problems. Now, I'm not saying men don't have them, but women have them a lot higher percentage-wise. And I think, again, when we are, you know, the lie that feminism has taught us is that it's all about you and your performance and what you do. And when we're on this rat race of proving ourselves all the time, I think that's really where more problems begin. Because, again, our identity isn't something that is not true. And it's not good, and it's not the Lord's design for us.
So you had said something earlier this week. It sounds like there have been calls for women's right to vote to be taken away. And even if it's even made in jest, the very fact that it's now coming up more and more, because I've seen this too, but I'm not actively on those type of like social diagrams or like the Twitter posts that would kind of start bringing that up more. But it sounds like it's become a little bit more of a higher call since we've seen the craziness that has been happening with the Lindsey Clancy case. There's been a lot of more, I would say, more far right leaders that have been like, oh, and this is why we've always said that women shouldn't vote, because look at how volatile they're being. What's your response to that, both of you guys?
Yeah, I think, again, it's going back to the differences between men and women. Now, God uniquely created both men and women.
Yeah.
Both of us reflect God's character in beautiful format. God created us with this, you know, as women, this beautiful intuition, this nurturing ability, this care. Now, that becomes a problem when we value our emotions more than we value the truth, when we validate our feelings more than, again, we care about submission to Christ and his will and his ways. Now, on the opposite side, for men, I think they don't see sometimes the value that we bring in those ways, especially with all these conversations going on. And kind of, I think we see the sadness of, you know, if this is common, I'm not saying it is, but if this, you know, mental health crisis is common with women, can, you know, and posts that going on social media that we talked about previously, men are kind of calling into question of like, well, then why in the world would we trust these same people to vote?
Right.
If they're not being sane here, why should they vote? And I think that gets into a dangerous territory because, again, the way that our country, it did take some time, of course, for us to get the right to vote here in America. But God created us, man and woman, equal in his eyes, but with different characteristics. And I think too, we are here, we care a lot about freedom in America. And I think if we're gonna start revoking women's rights to vote, we have a lot more important things to worry about than pulling away freedoms undeservedly.
Yeah.
Christians to pay for transgender surgeries? This is Ken Ham, author, speaker, and blogger on science and the Bible. A few years ago, a group of professing Christians were raising money to pay for transgender surgeries as a way to make amends for hurt the church had supposedly caused transgender people. The campaign told people to put your tithe money where your beliefs are. Now this group is ignoring truth. You see, God's word tells us he created male and female. God is our creator, and he has defined us as male or female. Some people who struggle with this issue look to surgery for freedom and peace. But that won't fix their biggest problem. They, like everyone, are sinners separated from God. And it's the gospel that fixes our biggest problem.
Discover answers to the questions of today when you visit our award-winning website at answersradio.com.
This is an Illinois Family Institute, illinoisfamily.org update.
In a new study published in a Nordic medical journal, researchers found that teenagers who undergo medical intervention to change their gender are much more likely to experience a steep decline in mental health. For example, researchers found that any psychiatric disorders patients experienced before the risky sex change surgeries and hormones, such as anxiety and depression, rose by 50% for boys and over 30% for girls. Researchers concluded that psychiatric needs do not subside after medical gender reassignment. Medical professionals across the country have often claimed that the only way to help children children overcome gender confusion is to affirm their false beliefs. But this study shows that this claim is a dangerous lie that only increases psychological distress. It's time for the medical community in Illinois and across the country to stop these harmful practices once and for all. Go to IllinoisFamily.org to keep up to date on news items like this. That's IllinoisFamily.org.
Assessment. What about you, Alyssa?
I'm never going to be for revoking a woman's right to vote. I cherish that right very much. I exercise it on a regular basis. I'm a good voter. I vote in line with God's word. So revoking an amendment on the basis of some social media people that are confused, off the rocker, whatever adjective you want to describe them as, is not indicative of the larger population of women that are largely not on their phones, that are largely not on TikTok 24/7. I think the best thing for these women, right, honestly, is just to delete their social medias. That would solve a lot of the mental health crises that we see in society today, not just for adult women, but also for our teenagers that are going through comparison issues, cyberbullying. Yeah. If we would just, honestly, if the TikTok ban could have stayed a little bit longer, it might have done some good for America. Maybe we would have seen a drastic happiness arc if TikTok was banned for like a month or something. But I say that in jest. I know that,
yeah,
you know, that was a whole rights issue there. But who knows? Maybe it would have shown like, oh, no more TikTok. People are actually having in-person conversations. They're going on walks. They're going to church. People are happier now. They're actually meeting in real life instead of online. They don't care about their likes as much. You know what I mean? So I think those women getting off of social media is a must. And also, I will say I've seen some positive reactions from men, because we've also had a manliness crisis in America of men being put down for so long by feminism that I don't know if you guys have seen, there are a lot of texts and situationships going viral of men breaking up with their girlfriends or calling off their weddings because their girlfriend or their fiance is so on board with Lindsay Clancy. And they're like, hey, I need a woman that I can trust implicitly with my children and their safety. You being very sympathetic to the point of a little crazy about a woman who methodically, intentionally planned out to the last minute the death of her children. You know, she told her husband to go on not one errand, but two, to make sure she had enough time. She brought them down to a secluded place. You know, you being in favor of that scares me as a man who wants to have a family, who wants to entrust you with his children. So we're done here. I have seen that as a very positive way that men are standing up and saying, we are the protectors here and we're protecting our future families by choosing a woman who is going to be able to discern right from wrong. Like, of course, we can have compassion for someone who was absolutely failed by the medical institutions. But, and I said this on a reel I made for IFI, and maybe this is harsh, but it's my genuine conviction to my soul that my compassion for Lindsay Clancy ended when the lives of her children ended. I don't see how an insanity claim is justice. You know, God demands the death penalty for people that take the lives of his image bearers. There is no insanity clause in the Old Testament. There is no, oh, but she didn't mean to, she was having a hard day, or a system failed her. There are no conjunctions for that in scripture. God has very specific demands for how his justice will be met. And while that justice might not be met in this life, in this court system, because the American court system is very broken, I do have solace in the fact that those children will receive justice in the court of God one day. So I think there's been a lot of good that has come out of the Lindsay Clancy case. It's very easy to focus on the negative, on the women that are behaving so poorly on social media, of the protests that are happening outside the courthouse in her support. But me seeing a lot of young men in relationships stand up and say, no, I'm protecting my family. I'm walking away from this relationship, even though our wedding is next week. I don't feel good about this anymore. I think that's a really great step that men are taking right now.
You brought up something that I think people should talk about more, Whereas, you know, the only just consequence for taking a human life is that human life being forfeit.
Yes.
Even in the Old Testament, when even an animal would take the life of another human being, that animal's life was forfeit. And that animal probably wasn't, like, they don't have the conscience, mm-hmm. or they don't have the brain that God has granted to human beings. So even if there is a justifiable case for insanity, still the only justice that the taking of an innocent human life is the your life being forfeit, no matter what you are, like an animal or a human being, no matter if you were in your right mind or if you mm-hmm. weren't. Even with, I know this example was brought up to me as well. If you were responsible for, you know, going to a bar and you're paying for your first drink and your second drink and your third drink, and then somebody does, like they spike your other drink, and you leave that bar and you crash on the way home and you cause a fatality. Well, it's still on you because you did make that decision to go for the next drink, or you made the decision to go to the bar in the first place. So there is always going to be, going back and looking back at it, there is always going to be some form of responsibility, no matter the insanity mm-hmm. clause.
God does require justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why we love the Lord, because he is equally just and equally mm-hmm. merciful. Now, that doesn't mean that sin doesn't go unpunished. Mm-hmm. It always does. It always will, whether it's in this life or the next life. And I think that that is an honorable thing, to want justice. The thing that I think, again, struggle with this mm-hmm. case in this is the level of, I think we don't, again, putting the law, you know, the level of insanity aside, the difference between, of course, you know, taking a drink and, you know, or even some of the mental health cases of, we had talked about serial killers, those are different, is that those are more choice driven, if that makes sense. If, again, this is an if she was not in her right mind due to the drugs she was on, or even the withdrawal from psychiatric medication, I think that calls into, you know, more question of that. Now, again, I think there's a moment of choice that the Lord always gives us between stimulus and mm-hmm. response of how do we yep. respond. You know, if she was indeed hearing voices, she still made the choice to follow the voice in some way, shape, or form, or finally gave into it. And that's something that I think is still, you know, very real, in the sense I've had, you know, friends that have had mental health problems, and whether it was the drugs that caused it or something else, they have had auditory hallucinations mm-hmm. and more. And so I think that's the hard thing about this case, is to not speak about it in absolutes, because there's a lot with mental health that we don't fully understand. And even the medical professionals that are psychiatrists, they believe in one form of, well, the medication fixes mm-hmm. everything. And they do yeah. not study the withdrawal from it. So I think that's just it's a difficult part of this. Sure. We want justice. Absolutely. The children deserve justice. But where is the line?
Sure.
And how do we, you know, support women that have experienced psychosis or have experienced medical malpractice mm-hmm. in other ways? Now, I don't think that every single woman is one step away from murdering their children.
I don't believe that at all.
Again, because most women are not struggling in these ways or to that level. But
sure. Anyways,
you were going to talk about witchcraft.
Yeah. I thought it was very interesting where science has decided to take the way that they look at the world so far without God. Like they wanted to, like, push him so far out of the narrative, and it's only pure, cold, sterile science, to the point where, well, that void is going to be filled with something. And so how much, like, for example, we all know that, well, I do believe that if with certain uses of pharmaceutical drugs and with the abuse of it, it could very possibly lead you to hear hallucinations and be more open to demonic influence. So that is a possibility, 100%, fully agree with you. And that's what we're kind of starting to see, not necessarily the abuse of psychotic drugs, but the openness to looking at like star signs and birth charts. Yes. And, this person actually is, you know, he's born in this month. So that means he's more culpable of committing a crime or something like that.
I saw one woman on TikTok say that because Patrick Clancy is a Gemini man, that that's why he's the actual murderer. And it's like, I am so thankful our court system does not work off of these asinine birth charts that mean absolutely nothing. It's
utterly crazy. Pagan.
It's so pagan. Demonic. Yes.
But it's so easy for women to fall.
Absolutely. Because it's fantastical.
So when
it's fantastical. It's mysterious. There's no question that women are the number one consumer of true crime, mystery, documentary. We love the mysterious. We love the curious. And when it comes to matters of birth charts and signs and figuring out the future through tarot cards or whatever the case may be, women are naturally going to flock to that because it's, I believe, in our nature to be curious and imaginative and creative because we're the nurturers and caretakers of our homes. But when that's distorted, it easily goes into the demonic. Farther you get into the Eastern mystic practices, the closer you get to occultism. I don't think it's any wonder that you see in Hollywood, a lot of people that take to Eastern mystic practices are now, I saw Ariana Grande come out with a music video where she walks into a room all bloodied. And it's like, who thinks of that? Who sits down in a producer room and says, let's cover you with blood? Well, not actual blood, you know what I mean? Like, and have you walk in and have you like being looking at crystals, like who thinks of that? These are demonic ideals that are coming out of these mystic practices. And I mean, birth charts, all of that needs to be completely omitted from Christian practice in any way, shape or form.
Yeah. And I think we need to be more vocal about that, especially in the church, because you know, I grew up a Christian. I have, you know, attended wonderful churches throughout my life. In college, I was not faithfully, you know, walking with the Lord as consistently as I should have. I didn't have a good church community at all. But there was a lot of people in college that were, you know, talking about astrology or like, hey, I read tarot cards. Can I do yours? And they're like, oh, okay, I don't know. Everyone's sitting here. Like, I don't know what's going on. And so it gets almost, and even with the like Ouija board stuff too, like it's pitched as like, well, this is just a fun game, try it out, or hey, you're visiting New Orleans, it's part of the culture. Yes. You know, just experiment a little bit in these areas. And I think you know, as women and just I think people in general, we want to know the future, we want to have that sense of control. And as believers, we need to be mindful of what we're putting our hope in, what we're seeking answers from, because it is so easy that I have a problem to then, you know, Google something and not check the source, or to complain to a friend, or, you know, search for answers in something that is not God's word, and not, you know, bringing it to the Lord in prayer. And I think if we are not vocal about the dangers of this world and the level of sin, like we're not called to flirt with sin. We're not called to, you know, waver that line. We are called to flee from sin. We are called to cut out our eye if it causes us to sin. Now, we're not actually going to start cutting body pieces off. The Lord doesn't want that either. But that's the analogy. Like, we need to take sin seriously. And if the church doesn't want to take sin seriously, then we do not take salvation seriously.
So then what's the solution? With all of this that's been going on, what is the solution that, as Christian women specifically, and our audience is made out of all sorts of people from all sorts of different walks of life, how can we help? What can we provide as an alternative?
I think it goes back to the mission of John the Baptist and the mission of Jesus: repent and believe the gospel. It's as easy as that, simple yet complex, that the easiest way for a culture to heal, for the minds of women in this country to heal, is to repent of their wickedness, to repent of their arrogance, their selfishness, whatever sin besets them, and to fall on their knees before Jesus and ask for forgiveness and ask for his healing to come into their lives. Lindsay Clancy has that available to her. No one is too far gone. Paul persecuted the church. He was present at the stoning of Stephen, the very first martyr for the Christian church. If God can save the Apostle Paul, God can save Lindsay Clancy. If she would just fall on her knees in repentance to Jesus, he would heal her. He would wash her sin away, just like he's washed mine, just like he's washed yours. Like I said, and what I mentioned about the meme that IFA posted, like, she doesn't need more mental health support. As helpful as those things might be in a temporary fix kind of way, ultimately, her problem is spiritual. She needs Jesus to heal her. And he is the only one that can completely heal her of everything that she's ever done. And that's the hope that all of us have. That's the hope our country has. That's the hope the world has. And that's why Jesus came, to change the world. And he did. And like I said, I'm just so happy that our hope is not in this life, because goodness, it would be so depressing if justice was only in this life, if goodness was only in this life, if happiness was only in the things that are here. That as Christians, our happiness, our hope, our security is not in this life. It's not in this court system. It's not in our friends or family. It's in Jesus Christ alone.
I would echo what you say. Absolutely. We need Jesus to change our hearts, to change our lives, because that is only where the true hope and joy and satisfaction comes, not just in this life, but in eternity. I've been reflecting a ton on Galatians 6 and just the importance that there will be a harvest. Yeah. You know, what we reap, we will sow. There is a judgment day coming, and we need to repent and believe. But also, as you know, those are believers, we cannot look to the left and to the right and say, I am so much better or above them. All of us are dead in our sins and our transgressions. All of us deserve damnation because we have broken the law, because we have gone against Christ. And praise God that he sent his son to save us from our sins, so that way we can believe in him, we can repent, and we can be unified in Christ, not just today, but for eternity in heaven. And so I think for believers, it's going to be this, you know, all of our life should reflect that joy and that hope and that gratitude that we have. And if we don't see the urgency to bring others to Christ, then I think we're missing a piece of this. And then when it comes to those that are not yet believers, I hope and pray that, you know, the Christians that you know are compassionate and are willing to have conversations with you and are willing to point you to the hope and joy that is found in Christ. They're not here to judge you. They are here to, like, you know, I've been often reminded of James, especially this week, that I want to be slow to speak and quick to listen, so that my words are not my words, but they are words that point people to Jesus above all else. And so that is really just my prayer, that, you know, the church today will be clear on what is sin and what is not, that it'll be continuing discipleship, and that we will be people that are sharing the gospel day in and day out and living as people that are free from sin.
Yeah, absolutely.
The last thing I would add is just the importance of renewing of our minds. Yes. First Peter talks about that. And so if we want to be clear on what is true and what is good and what is honorable, we need to be constantly in God's word, not just on Sundays, not just when we feel like it, but it needs to be our number one source of truth and goodness and direction of life. And so if you're struggling with anything, I think it's important to just go back to, okay, what does God say about this? And how can I live in accordance to that? So if we can do that more and more.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to pinpoint off of that, that it's only through a biblical worldview that you're able to have discernment about what is right and wrong. Like the end of that verse, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Like our source of how we discern social media viralness of, oh, is this true? Is it something I should take a part of? It's the answer is God's word. Go read God's word. What does he say about our conduct? What does he say about what we should be meditating on? I do have to wonder, these women that are taking part in these trends on social media, like, what are you thinking about all day? Are you just marinating in this case? And if you are, that explains a lot as to your conduct. Whereas Christians, we're supposed to marinate and find our joy and contentment in who God is. We're supposed to think about things that are honorable and true and of good report, according to Philippians 4. So yeah, great point, Stephanie. Totally agree.
I would also add to that, Stephanie, where a lot of girls are like, well, I can't live without social media. I can't do... Well, I would recommend just try it. But then also, as our good friend Rebecca Leland loves to point out, social media is also a tool. So start using it that way instead of using just being a consumer. Mm. Start putting things out that are good and true and beautiful. And that means sharing the word of God with your friends, your followers. And then that's also meaning that you can start meditating on things that your algorithm will encourage you by. You know, instead of hovering over something that is going to make you insecure about, well, your body or your friendships or your relationships, why don't you start following things that are going to uplift you? Start following things like Ligonier Ministries, yes, like the Bible apps. Like, there's so many great encouraging resources out there that you can transform your mind by making your social media a place of
a positive algorithm.
Yes, exactly. It's really not that difficult. So I would also recommend that. That's like a very practical step that all of us can start taking. Mm-hmm. Change your algorithm and make it more uplifting and encouraging, and start thinking about how can you bless the people that are following you, your friends, your family. How can you start sending them maybe reels that are talking about how the goodness of God has affected you this week? There are so many different ways that you can use social media instead of as a consumer, to start blessing people. And I think having that mindset of turning it around and being like, how can I share Christ? How can I be Christ on this platform? Start sharing him. I think that is a beautiful way to end this podcast, by the way. Guys, it was such a blessing to talk to you all. You have such great insights. I love being able to talk with you guys and hear your opinions and just be friends with y'all and do life. It's been such a blessing to talk with y'all again. And thank you everybody so much for listening. I hope that you will meditate on the things that we say and also be able to come away with your own conclusions. And as Ronald Reagan always says, you know, trust but verify. So go do your own research. Go see what the scripture says about these viral cases for yourselves too. Don't just rely on man's word, rely on the word of God. We hope that we will see you here next time. And until then, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.